Well, praise God, church. Get your Bibles out this morning. And if you would, go to the Gospel of John, chapter 18 this morning. I want to carry on a little bit along the same lines as I was last week. You know, I asked... Started on the 23rd of September for the church to come into a time of fasting, praying for America. I really see things a little differently, maybe than some people, and you know that's not unusual. But this election coming up on the 6th, it is an important election. Every election is an important election, but more importantly, we all have to realize what's going on in the world. The whole big picture. We have to look bigger than just what is taking place right here in our lives. We've got to look at the big picture. And the big picture is from the day of the garden until today, there's an evil on the face of this earth that wants to take over. It doesn't make any difference how you cut it. You can say whatever you want to, but there's an evil on the face of this earth. There's an evil age, a present evil age that wants to take over. It wants to get in the hearts of men and women and wants to lead people astray. Ultimately, it wants to take everybody to hell with them. And that's the big picture. The big picture is you're in the middle of it all. You're in the middle of a war zone. You're in the middle of a fight. You're a believer in Jesus, trusting in Him as your Lord and Savior. You committed your life to Him. Put you at odds against the evil force on this world. No matter how you look at it, no matter how you cut it, and if you want to be a pacifist or you want to be an extremist, doesn't make any difference. He hates your guts and wants to take you out. So every morning you wake up, you can be fully well assured that all of hell hates you if you love Jesus. All right? So after a while, when you start thinking about it, you know, you just kind of get used to it. It doesn't bother me a bit. You know, it doesn't make me... Matter of fact, I'm impressed. I want hell to know who I am. I want heaven to know who I am, but I want hell to know who I am too. I want them to... It would bring great joy to my heart to find out that if they're the devil sending one of his... agents to attack me, harass me at the day, I'd want that guy to be crying. So, no, God, don't send me to Robert's house. You know, I would want to know that hell knew who I was and where I stood and what I believed in and what I wasn't going to give up. But the problem is in this life is that we're sitting here this morning and y'all are in church and I'm kind of preaching to the choir and I know there's people listening by radio and watching by video that maybe tuning in for different reasons, but I'm kind of preaching to the choir here of y'all because I think all of y'all do believe a lot along the same lines I do. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. You'd go find another church to go to. So there's something that draws us here that says that we're all family and we come in here. And so by this message today that I want to give you, I want to be preaching about truth. And I feel like if nothing else today, I want to reaffirm in you and I want to shore up your pillars of your life so that you know what truth is, so that when you come against non-truth, you come against somebody that's not walking in truth, maybe you have some more ammunition. Maybe you have a little more security, you know, in your life to be able to talk to somebody. Amen? There's some knuckleheads in this life. There's some real knuckleheads in this life. And I am thankful that I don't see much gray area. You know, I see pretty much things black and white. I see right and wrong. I don't think it makes a hill of beans if you like to drink Coke or Dr. Pepper. I don't think it makes any difference if you like walnuts or pecans, apple pie or pecan pie. I don't think all those things really make any difference, you know. It's enjoy your life. If you like to eat radishes, eat them up. If you like Brussels sprouts, eat them up. You know, I mean, I don't think it makes any difference, right? But there are some truths in this world that people are trying to compromise. The enemy wants to compromise truth. Truth has always been discussed. Here in John chapter 18, verse 37, you find a story or an issue where Pilate and Jesus were discussing truth. Now, it says in verse 37, Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king then?" And Jesus answered and said, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. And Pilate said to him, what's truth? In Pilate's world, is like a lot of people today, they don't. We have this. It's a tactic of the enemy. It's a tactic of this present evil age to come in and want to say, well, what really is truth? To us, we sit here this morning and we say, well, the Bible's truth. But to the atheist, he says, that's not a truth because he doesn't believe it is. Y'all with me? So in this world, and especially in America right now, then we want to start compromising some foundational truths that we know to be true. Because people are questioning them. I read a story, an article. I have to assume it's true. I guess I should have checked my facts better before I'm going to go out and say it. But there's a lieutenant colonel in our military who is teaching the classes on radical Islam, and 50, that's less than what's sitting in here this morning in this church, 50 people went to Washington who were of a Muslim association and said, this guy's teaching things that are too radical, and they're hurting our feelings talking about Muslims like that, and we don't think it's right. And so they, there's a word for it in the military. Some of you military guys would know. You're not blackballed. You're not blacklisted. You got something, a hickey somewhere on something, so that he can never get a promotion. His career is stalemated, stopped. It's ruined right there. He can never move forward. And I'm like, 50 people went and complained? That's all it took to get something done? But I don't know if they had a louder voice. Just 50. And a person's career was ruined. Now, I haven't seen all the evidence of this or that or the other. I'm just making the point. 50 people said something, and it was changed. All I'm saying is, a lot of times, if we don't stand up for the truth, and we don't rise up and stand for truth and say, wait a minute, this is the truth, this is an absolute truth, this is what we believe in, and voice our opinion, then we really can't expect things to change unless we're going to stand up there and say something about it. You see, Pilate said, well, what's truth? Listen, there's two kinds of truths. There's perceived truth, okay? What a person thinks is reality, right? But it may not be. I think all of us at some time of life that you really believed something was true, but then you found out later that it wasn't. Right? I mean, I think all of us experienced that on some level or another. We had something that we really thought, this is the truth, but then later in life we found out some more facts and found out, well, wait a minute, that really isn't true. Right? So it was a perceived truth, but it wasn't really the truth. And then there is the absolute truth. Right? What is true? Now, there's people in this world today that want to say there is no truth, but I'm telling you, there is truth. There is truth. Jesus, that's what he was saying to Pilate. He says, I come to tell evidence of the truth. What's really right? You see, if you're a believer in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, there's no gray area about who's right. There is nothing, listen to me, there is nothing that's going to change my thinking of the truth about the Word of God and Jesus. I don't care if they bring a Martian back from Mars. He just better be subject to my God. Y'all with me? You're not going to change it. There is no, listen to me. Church, you can go study, you can go look, you can go back into history, you can go back and you can look at all the things that have taken place and all the things that have gone on like that, and you can find this line of truth through it all. It's there. I can never deny the things that have gone on in my life, what I have seen happen, what I've seen take place on the face of this earth in my lifetime too. If Jesus has done in my heart and touched me, then you're going to tell me that it's not right. There's nothing that's going to take me out of that. It's, to me, is an absolute truth. Now, if the majority of us believe it's a truth, does that mean it is a truth? Because everybody, you just get around a bunch of people that all believe the wrong thing, right? So Jesus says, look, guys, there's one thing I want to tell you. You've got to look at. There's a way to tell if it's true or not. There's a way to judge everything to see if it's really true. Go to Matthew chapter 12. Told us what it was. There's a way to judge truth. Matthew 12:33. Jesus said, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else the tree, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for a tree is known by its fruit. There's one way you can judge if something is truth or not, is you look at the fruit. If it isn't bearing good fruit, it ain't a good tree. Hello? If it doesn't work, you need to quit. You know, guys, we all like to cook a good steak, and it's so amazing to me because I don't know why. I know exactly how to cook a good steak. But every time I'm cooking a steak, there's something on the back of me saying, well, leave it just a little bit longer, just a little bit longer, just a little bit more. And I overdo it. This makes me so darn mad. If I do it right, when I first take it off, I don't care what anybody says, because everybody looks and says, oh, is that done? If I just leave it alone, it'd be the perfect steak. But because it's not inside of me, just turn around to everybody and say, shut up and leave me alone. I know exactly what I'm doing. I know truth. But I get swayed. And then I sway, even sometimes sway myself, you know, just a little longer. It's too done. So I judge it. Don't do it next time. Here is the evidence. It's too done. Right? The fruit of it. It didn't work. Quit doing it. The same is with everything in life. If a person says, oh, this is the way to live life, but it doesn't bear fruit. Oh, this is the white religion. But if it does not bear fruit, you can just look at it and say, look, okay, are those happy people? Boy, they're mad. They just look like been living with a herd of hornets, you know? I mean, is that bearing fruit? Are y'all with me? I don't have to go disprove and line upon line upon. I just got to look at the fruit of it and say, is that any good? Boo, Lord. Right? You know. I also build homes. And if I was building a home and every time I built a home and finished it, it fell down. And then I just kept convincing the owner. I said, look, get to find another one. I said, yeah, well, that house fell down. But you don't even understand that. You know, now I do know what I'm doing. And this one's, you know, I'm going to do the same thing I did with that house, but on yours, and it'll work. Don't worry. And that one fell down. And I get about three falling down houses in front of me or behind me. You know, after a while, somebody saw him and said, Robert, I don't think you know what you're doing. Are y'all with me? It's like credit cards. People can get themselves in trouble with credit cards because you get a credit card. You charge it up and you get on the max. And then so you just put that credit card up and you get another one. Hey, and go max on this one too. So just look at this. Free money. It ain't free money. That's what our government's doing right now. Free money. Just keep getting another credit card and saying, look, it's free money. And I'm like, stupid, we all been through that. We all know that doesn't bear fruit. But I can't believe, and I don't know any other word to use than this, how people can be such ignoramuses and just not look at that and say, you know, that is not working too well. Are y'all with me? That's the rule of thumb for your life, church. Is it bearing fruit to know if it's a truth? Now, I want to show you this because In these days that I've asked y'all to fast and pray for America, I've been, of course, fasting and praying too, but I one of the things that I did is I took some of my time that I would have been doing something else with, and I used my time, because that's still a form of fasting, to study and to just to go back and look at things that I normally wouldn't. Like, why does the flag look like that? What are all the lines to the Battle Hymn of the Republic? What is in the Constitution? Have a pocket constitution. Read my pocket constitution. Read the Declaration of Independence. Just going back and looking upon the foundations of America and what we've been. And I want to read to you the first lines here of the Declaration of Independence. It says, when in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the cause which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths, to be self-evident. To be self-evident. Means like we're looking at the fruit of it. Right? We're looking at the fruit of it. It's self-evident. You don't have to go research it. Just open up your eyes. It's self-evident. That all men are created equal. That they are, oh my gosh, endowed by their Creator. It's self-evident that all men are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Do you know what an unalienable right is? It means those that are incapable of being surrendered. Now think about this. The founding fathers of this nation said there's a few things out there that you can just go look at. That a three-legged dog would have enough sense to know. That it's self-evident to everybody that would just open up their eyes and look at that men are endowed by their Creator. And then you're going to tell me this nation is not founded on a belief in God? I mean, I've just been going over just prayer after prayer of George Washington and Abraham Lincoln and looking at different things about every nation. I mean, every prayer that they were praying over our nation, and just thinking about this. Wow, isn't that amazing? And we've gotten off, and the way we've gotten off is this present evil age wants to, you know, dangle the carrot over here and get people to go over to the side to get out of what is truth, what is self-evident, what is obviously just opening up your eyes and bearing fruit. And the evil of this age wants us to tear down our crosses, wants to take away our Ten Commandments, wants us to get God. Oh, we've got to get God out of system. Don't you know that's what the Constitution is all about, getting God out of system? No. It was all about not having the government come tell me I had to be a Catholic or a Methodist or a Baptist or whatever. I mean, it's just so simple. It's so obvious. It's just black and white. I just can't even understand it. I don't know. I have to have a robe on and call a Supreme Court justice to just see with my own two eyeballs. That's what it is. And people say, oh, well, you know, Pastor Robert, you're an extremist. You're off out there in the woods and you got guns and you eat things out in the woods. And you're just a little on the extreme side. No. I'm just a man who's found truth. It's not even like I can't even find anyone's argument. I can't even get caught into that. I can't see where they even have a case. Let me take you to a few more scriptures here. In John 8:31, and I'm going to go through these pretty quick here. It says, then Jesus said to the Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you're my disciples. Indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make me free. You know why I believe like I do believe? Because I know who Jesus is. Do you realize that if you know Jesus, you're going to know truth? If you know Jesus, you're going to know what truth is. See, people say, no, you've got to go to a university and you've got to get the highest education, and then you're going to know what truth is. No, you'll know maybe knowledge. There's a difference between knowledge and truth. Are y'all with me? If a person doesn't go into every meeting and automatically realize that there is a God and that he is their creator, then I want to tell you something. You're already off base, because no matter what is going to be in the discussion, that meeting, you're not looking at the big picture. If you don't have a knowledge of Jesus, folks, listen to me. When this country was a country where presidents prayed, where people had national days of prayer, where people had solemn assemblies, when preachers from their pulpits would preach about Jesus and what they needed to do to get things straight, I want to tell you something. Those days, the providence of God and the hand of God was moving on this nation unbelievably. But nowadays, they're always trying to remove God from everything, because if you remove God, there's no light to see what is truth. You got to understand something. Well, let me go on. I'm going to get ahead of myself. Let me go on to another scripture. 2 John chapter 1, verse 1 through 3 says, the elder, because of the truth which abides in us and will be with us forever, grace, mercy, and peace will be with you from the Father. He says, if you walk in truth, you're going to have grace, mercy, and peace. You want to end wars? Preach the gospel. John chapter 1, verse 17 says, for the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. If you want grace in your life, you've got to understand the truth, and the truth you're only going to get from knowing who Jesus is. The more you understand Jesus, the more you understand truth, the more grace and peace you're going to walk in. So now I want you to jump over to Ephesians chapter 6. And I want to finish up here. Am I just confusing you? Am I helping you this morning? Putting you to sleep. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. The Apostle Paul speaking, he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You've got to understand this, church. You've got to get this down in your heart. The things that are going on in our government and in our situation right now are not because those men are just stupid. It may seem like that. It may be pretty self-evident, but I want you to understand something. It's not about that. It's about they have listened to the voice of the enemy, and they're being persuaded by this other force that's outside of all of this. The big picture. Remember, we got to look at the big picture. It's the evil of this present age. It's the enemy. It's the devil that wants to work into the hearts of men. Everybody says, oh, well, this because of this or that or there. We need to do this. We need to do that. And we ought to be helping this group. We ought to be doing that. We ought to be doing this. Listen, that's all the confusion, all the fluff, all the smoke, all the blowing. That's about the bottom line is people do not get saved. There's more in this going on in this world than us just working, making money, living in a nice house, driving a nice car, putting away a savings account, and retiring. There's nothing wrong with any of that, but that's not the big picture. The big picture is that someday you're going to die, and we're going to step across on the other side, and we're going to be in heaven, and then you're going to see everything that you did on this earth, and did it amount to anything and count for anything over on the other side. It's going to be how many people can we get to heaven? All of y'all that support the orphans, I'll tell you this. We got a new 3-day-old baby that was left in a church in a basket delivered to the orphanage. We have a new baby that's 42 days old that was abandoned in a trash can in an alley that the state gave to the social workers or the government agencies in Guatemala gave to us. So we have two new babies and five new children this week. So needless to say, we're busting at the seams down there to help rescue kids and do all of that. But I want to tell you something. Those are the things that count. Right? Those are the things that count. You got to understand this. You see, I want to break the deception even in your own life. There's more going on out there. It's called manipulation of the system to get us to be not a godly nation. Listen, what? Heavens to Betsy. There's enough things going on in this world that they're worrying about tearing down a cross that's on federal ground because the atheists don't like it. And I'm like, really? Come on, folks. Let's just back up and think about this for a minute. Are you so scared that somebody's going to go by and see the cross and get saved? If you don't believe in God, it's just a piece of steel sitting up in there, just a piece of wood. So what are you worried about? If there ain't no God, what are you worried about? Why don't you shut up? Leave. Well... Yeah, you're just listening to the voice of the devil. You're into the wiles and the tricks and the schemes of the devil. All about taking this great country of America that has preached the gospel around this world, that has sent out more missionaries and given more money than any nation on the face of the earth. Have you ever noticed, folks, that when some national disaster, or not national, but world disaster takes place, ain't nobody standing around really wanting to give money but us. Why do you think that is? Because everybody else looks and says, we got our own problems, man. Take care of yourself. Because they don't have anything inside their hearts. Their nations are not set up in a godly fashion. They're not compassionate. They do not care. Because that's not the focus of their nation. This nation has always been a nation that was an exceptional nation that believed that our job in life was to help humanity. And then when you start taking that away and getting us to be just like everybody else in the world, then you lose that godliness, you lose the gospel going out and preach, you lose the things taking place to go out and get people saved so that people can know about Jesus. And this present evil age wants to shut this America down so that we will shut up and not be getting anybody saved. That's the big picture. That's the truth. That's the schemes and the wiles of the enemy. He says, see, we don't wrestle against, the next verse here, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. So, man, your fight is not against that person. That person may be listening to and yielding to the voice of the enemy, but that person right there, God loves and wants them to go to heaven. But if they're listening to the voice of the enemy, you got to realize that's who you're fighting against. So he says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you're able to withstand in the evil day. Do you see you're able in there? You're able to withstand? That means no matter what's going on in this evil day, you are able. Look at the person beside you and say, you're able. You're able. You're able to stand. You're able to make it. You're able to walk through it. I don't care what they say. I don't care what they say they're going to do, as long as you do not shut up and lose sight of the big picture. Keep praying, keep speaking, keep declaring, you're able to stand and go through it. Hello? He says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you are able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all... And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with what? Having girded your waist with truth. Now listen to me. The enemy wants to come in. He wants to steal everything that he possibly can. Because the Bible, we looked at that last week. He's a thief. He's a murderer. He has always been that way. He's a liar. Okay? But you got to understand something. The devil wants to work in all different kinds of fashions. Okay? In other words, in some levels, he's working just to get you to not feel like you have any worth. So that you won't go tell anybody about Jesus. He's just trying to keep you bogged down in the affairs of life and just trying to keep the bills paid and keep the wife happy and keep the kids going and trying to do all that. And you're just caught up and bogged down in the affairs of life that you can't really reach your potential and do what you're going to. He wants to keep you bogged in there, worried about this, worried about that. That's one level. Then the next level he's going up there to, he's really trying to get people to manipulate, getting them to do something, because he can't come flip the switch. He can't come do that. He's got to get you to do it. He's got to get somebody to do it. So that would be the next level, okay? That he's working in and around people, trying to get this everything going on and everything taking place. But he says we have to have on our waist girded with truth. You know what? I don't know about y'all. Some of y'all may not have this problem, but if I don't have my belt on pretty tight, I might lose my britches. My body is constructed in such a way that it tapers down like this and everything wants to fall off. And the older I get and gravity sets in, that is an issue. So one of the main things I know that I leave every day with is my belt on. Hello? I know that I am girded with my belt on. And it's not all decoration. It serves a function. Okay? He said every day you got to get up and you got to be reminded of this truth. If you don't know this truth, you may lose your pants. You got to know the truth. All right? He says, and put on the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate guards your vital organs, right? The thing that's guarding you is your righteousness. The blood of Jesus is over your life that says that you are a son of God, says that you are born again, says that the blood cries out. Hebrews 12:24 says the blood speaks over your life. The blood of Jesus is always crying out over you that you are a child of God, that you are born again, that you belong to the kingdom and get your hands off of him. Hello? That's what's guarding your vital organs. He says, and then having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, if you want to just render me useless in a fight, just make me take my boots off. Because even walking on carpet sometimes hurts my feet. I don't know. I just wore shoes too much in my life, but I had boots on since I was born. Came out of the womb, I think, with boots and a goatee. And I'm rather tender-footed. I mean, you take my boots off, there's no way I could walk across. If a lion is going to chase me, I'm going to stand there and just let him eat me. See if I can shove my hand down his throat and choke him or something. Because, there ain't no way. I ain't running. I ain't going to do it. No way. I can't do it. But he said, the gospel, the good news about Jesus, becomes your shoes, your security, your ability to walk and to climb and to go do anything in life, to go where you need to go, to be able to handle all the affairs of life, to go up and down the steps of life, to crawl over the rocks of life, because you have the preparation. You are prepared with the gospel. Folks, listen to me. Your answer for every person in this world is the gospel. Your preparation in this life for everybody is, I don't know, it's just Jesus. Somebody says, well, what about this? What about this? I don't know, it's Jesus. He said, what are you talking about? You don't know anything. It's Jesus. Well, what are we going to do about this? It's Jesus. We need to pray about that. It's the answer for everything. He said, well, it does work and it does fit. Just start applying it. The preparation of the gospel of peace. Put your shoes on and be ready to preach about Jesus. Tell about Jesus. You just watch what happens. It says, and above all, taking the shield of faith, which we are able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked ones. Listen, the devil is always sending darts, always sending fiery darts. But you know, a dart, I guess or an arrow at a close distance may fly fairly straight, but it's only for a short ways. Or it's going to hit the ground. And most of the things the devil shoots are shot like this. An arch. That just comes in unexpectedly. When you're just walking along not expecting it, it just comes down and gets you. But the shield of faith, all you got to do is hold it up. It's the end of it. Faith is a shield in your life. Faith in knowing that you believe the truth and you know that Jesus is the answer. Faith in knowing who he is and what he is. It sets everything apart. It ends it. Faith quenches all the fiery darts of the enemy. And the helmet of salvation. Listen to me. If you don't know what I'm talking about, and it don't make sense to you, you may not have the helmet of salvation on. Because when you put the helmet of salvation on and you know that 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 you're saved, then you got the helmet of salvation on. Somebody can talk you out of it. I don't think you were. If you're questioning today, well, I don't know, maybe I should be a Buddhist. I can tell you a few things wrong with that right off the bat. One thing is they worship cows, not eat them. Look at the fruit. And then I don't think most of us look good in robes. And you may say, well, what about heaven? Well, we'll check it out when we get there. I'm just saying, helmet of salvation on your head, you have a sense of what's going on. The helmet of salvation protects your brains and your thoughts. If you become aware that the confusion that comes in your life is because the enemy's trying to get in you and quit to keep you from doing what you're supposed to be doing, and you just stop it, you say, look, just shut up. The other day, I was having a debate with myself. And it was one of those days where, you know, it seemed like he was winning. The other Robert Richards, the old man of flesh, was winning. And so I just was sitting there just kind of just praying and talking, but it's just, and finally I said, okay, you've made your case. You want to shut up now? I said it out loud. And so it kind of quieted for a second, then it started back again. I said, listen, you've made your case. Just shut up. You've had enough. Say, I don't want to listen to you more. Just make your case. This is what I say, because in the other side of me, see, I don't, y'all may think, I'm not crazy. I don't have a split personality. There's just two of me. There's the old flesh Robert in there, and there's the born-again Robert. And sometimes he gets out of his cage. And I have to get him put back in there because he talks. Incessantly just talks, talking. And he tells me trash and things that aren't right and whispers in my ear things that don't line up with the Word of God, and I have to correct him and have to put him back in his place and say, shut up, you don't know what you're talking about. Don't you know what the Word says? The Word says it's this. I had to put him in his place and sit him down over there. Right? That's life. You're not crazy. That's life. All right? That helmet of salvation on my head gives me the victory. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Listen to me. You've got to know the Word. You've got to swing the sword. You're not going to win if you don't sing the sword. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and being watchful to this end, that with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that the utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mysteries of the gospel, to which I'm an ambassador in chains, that it may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Okay, now, that's your job. I'm finishing. I'm through. I'm just going to tell you one more thing. All right? All that I said about that is all about you and what you have to do. But you know, you can't control people. God didn't violate their free will, and you can't violate their free will. All right? So what are you going to do? I'm going to tell you what you're going to do. We do need in this nation to have a strong government. We do need a nation has a strong government. But we need to have a government that's godly. We need to be praying for a godly government that will be strong. And I want to tell you something. If a man yields to a spirit of murder and begins to kill people, the man has to be stopped, right? I mean, if he will not listen to the gospel and will not listen to reason, then he goes behind bars or is executed, right? I mean, that's the way it works. Right? Y'all with me? So, it's our job to pray. It's our job to speak. But then there's going to may come a time that it's a time for us to stand up and say, no, no, no. Mm-mm-mm. And that's enough. No. We're not doing that no more. Somebody's going to have to stop you, and it might as well be me. The founding fathers came to that point in life when upon taxation upon taxation upon their houses having to quarter soldiers and seizures in their homes. You know, in those days, they declared that the Sugar Act was imposed upon the people and they had to pay sugar, but there was a problem with people smuggling. So you could at any time, a British soldier could just walk in your house and go through there, and if he found sugar, and you said, well, wait a minute, I bought that down at the grocery store. They said, well, we don't believe that, and they could impound everything in your house. It would be kind of scary, wouldn't it? Wait a minute, I think they can do that today. I was shocked the other day. I found out that if I travel down the road with more than $10,000 in my pocket, that I can be stopped, all my money confiscated, and arrested as a possible drug smuggler. And I'm like, well, first of all, I'd like to have $10,000 just travel down the road. That'd be kind of fun. I'd like to have that problem. Lord, I've got too much cash on me and I don't know what to do. I'd like to pray that prayer sometime. I don't know. I don't want to say, you know, I don't want to get y'all stirred up. But comes a time, folks, and we've got to say no. When I was reading the Constitution, and one of the other things of the Declaration of the Independence and the Constitution is written is about taxation without representation. I thought, don't we have that today? We keep sending these guys to Washington and nothing ever seems to change. It seems like to me we don't have much representation. And it seems to me that the first pages said that the government was established by the people and for the people. Isn't that gone by the wayside line? I'm just telling you, church, it's time for truth. It's time to stand up. Time to fight against the evil through prayer and everything going on. But there may come a day and a time. It's time to stand up. We say no. Hello? Are y'all with me? Amen. Well, stand to your feet. I just want to say, if you're in here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you're listening by audio or you're listening by video or watching by video, and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you don't know that Jesus is your Savior, then church, it's real simple. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, confess with your mouth, believe in your heart in Jesus, and you'll be saved. So I want you to give you an opportunity. You call upon Him. Right now, wherever you are, just call upon Him. Say, Jesus, I want you to come into my life. And you know what? He will. He'll touch you. He'll save you. He'll change your life. And He'll set you free. Amen? Look at the person beside you and say, boy, I love Jesus. Grab the hand of that person next to you. And let's just pray. Father, I thank You this day. Lord, as we go from this assembly, we go today, Lord God, with faith in our hearts that we know the truth and that the truth will always set us free. Lord, as we look at what's going on, what's taking place in this world, we stop and we pray and we say, no, this is America the Beautiful. This is a great country. This is a land that loves You, Jesus. There's people all over this nation that love You, Jesus. And that we stand up and we rally our sabers and we rally the cross and we rally our flags, Lord God, and rally our prayers to just thank You, Lord, that this nation is a nation that has Your hand upon it and that You lead us and guide us. That all government officials, all people that have any place of authority and are in charge, Lord, that they feel the hand of God on the backs of their necks and that they know, Lord, that You are in charge, not them. That You turn their heads back to the cross. who turn their heads back to you, Jesus. And Lord, we give you praise for it. We thank you for it, Lord. And we declare that as we go out this week, everywhere we go, everybody we see, Lord, we're going to tell them the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you, church.